Hi, everyone, and thank you for calling. I'm Bobby Elias. Our show is Let's Create a Better World. Our other theme is Body, Mind, Spirit, Aging, Living Longer. We do a lot on this show, and I'm excited. We've got two guests today. The first guest will be about the environment, food, water, and a number of things with a great guest, Carrie. Her last name, Carrie, your last name is kind of complicated, so I'll leave that to you in a few minutes. Just hang on. And our second guest is Stefan's going to bring on a lady, Natalie. Stefan, are you there? Do you want to tell us who that lady will be? Stefan. Okay, he'll be coming on. So
yes, sorry about that, Bobby. It's Natalie Roundtree, and she'll be coming on talking about soulful living. She'll be coming on here in about 20 minutes.
Good, good. We had a few audio problems, but we're alive and we're well, so thank you. And, so just to let you know, the next few weeks on this show, we're going to be talking about more about the environment, about indigenous people, about the way of the lands for many, many years here in the Americas, and how they've been ruined and destroyed by man-made various things. And, in fact, our guest today is going to talk a little bit about that. We'll discuss it with her. Then we're also going to have a little talk about the elections. And then starting 3 or 4 weeks from now, we're going to be getting really deep into solutions for the problems of the world, an answer to how we could turn this disharmony and this ugliness that's going on in the world now, all over the world, and a lot of it caused by the United States, the corporations, the big money, greedy people. And we're going to talk about ideas on how, with the power of young people, the power of social media, with the power of love, how we can turn this around. It sounds a little angelic, maybe, but we have people that really believe that things are going to get better, and we may be in for a golden age and a harmonious world in 10, 15 years, maybe a little sooner. That we'll get into in the next few weeks. All right, let me give you a phone number to tell your friends if they would like to hear the show on their phone, because there are a lot of people either don't have a computer, laptop, or they just prefer calling the phone because they're busy, they're running around. The phone number to call to hear this show anytime, we're on every Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, the number is 712-775-6850. All right, let's get to our first guest. Carrie, how do you say your last name, Carrie?
So it's Carrie Hammerstock.
Right, that's right. I did have it handy, but we had some problems before the show, and I got a little tied up with some things. All right, we're going to talk about the environment. Your specialty, Carrie, is food, water, and how agriculture has a lot to do with that. So if you could start the show that way, and before you even do that, tell us just a little bit about you. I think your title is you're a deputy director of the food and technology department. Could you tell us more about just yourself and about your job, and then get into the food, water, and agriculture? Go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Yes, I work with the Food and Technology Program at Friends of the Earth, which is the U.S. voice of the world's largest federation of grassroots environmental groups. We have more than 70 Friends of the Earth organizations around the world. And we at Friends of the Earth work at the nexus of environmental protection, economic policy, and social justice to defend our natural resources and promote a healthier and more just world. And at Friends of the Earth, I work on the Food and Technology Program, which is working to transform our corporate-controlled, chemical-intensive industrial food system into one that is better, healthier, and more just for people, the animals, and the earth. And what that means is fewer chemicals in our food and on the land and in our water. It means less meat and dairy consumption, which is so environmentally harmful, and also more organic, sustainable, and humanely raised foods. On restaurant menus, supermarket shelves, we are aiming to transform our food system. And you were talking about solutions before and how your program is going to be focused on that. And that's really what we're about. There's a lot of solutions in our food system. We can all be part of that solution by buying and eating healthier, more sustainably produced food. So that's kind of a bit about Friends of the Earth. And the program that I manage is called the Good Food, Healthy Planet Campaign. And we are focused a lot on reducing the consumption of animal products while increasing access and availability to sustainable meat and organic-based foods. And we also are advocating for better policies and regulations to reduce the harmful environmental impacts of industrial agriculture, and we're pushing for much more public investment in healthier, more sustainable organic food production. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what we're about. And I can tell you more about our programs and our specific campaigns later. But I think you wanted me to talk more about water and agriculture. So in terms of water, you know, agriculture globally uses about 70% of the world's fresh water. And in California, where I live, that number is closer to 80%. So agriculture and water are very, very connected. And as everyone who's listening at the moment is aware, our water resources are in serious trouble. You know, we have an unprecedented drought that is putting our country's most productive agricultural regions under tremendous water stress. And that's both in California, where we grow, you know, most of the country's fruits and vegetables, as well as in the Midwest, where we grow most of the animal feed crops that feed all the animals that are being produced in mostly factory farms today. And so, you know, as you know, our water supply is at an all-time low, and our groundwater resources have been massively depleted by unlimited water pumping. And, you know, this is a really serious issue because once you deplete the freshwater resources, you can't get them back very quickly. It takes a very, very long time to refill and replenish those resources. And so, you know, we're rapidly depleting the resources. And with the acceleration of climate change, you know, we're going to have less, not more, water available for agriculture. And so it's really a big issue. And I hate to be so kind of gloom and doom, but I'll throw out one statistic which will really kind of blow your mind, I think, which is that if we keep consuming the same kinds of foods that we're consuming now, and that means a lot of meat and dairy products, by 2030, we will be the demand for water will be 40% greater than what the current accessible, reliable water supplies can provide. So that means we just don't have the water to produce the food that we need to feed people in the future if we keep consuming the same kinds of food that we're consuming. So that's the doom and gloom. But the good news is that we can solve this problem by shifting our diet away from the water-intensive foods like red meat and dairy and increase our consumption of plant-based foods like legumes, lentils, you know, veggie burgers, and so all kinds of plant-based protein foods. So that's the good news. The bad news, again, is that that oftentimes food is not the main focus when we talk about trying to reduce our consumption of water. So, for example, in California, you know, last year the governor issued a mandatory reduction for cities and towns in our water use, and a big focus of that is on like showers and lawns and cars and, you know, not washing our cars, but the huge issue that gets left out of this conversation often is the food that we eat. So, for example, you know, if you go to a restaurant, particularly in California, and they ask you, you know, they often will ask you, do you want water? Because they're trying to save water. But then, you know, if you order a steak, for example, nobody really mentions the fact that you could pour more than 7,000 glasses of water with the water it took to produce the quarter pound of steak. So I think people need to really understand how much water goes into producing the food, particularly the meat that we're eating. So, for example, a quarter pound burger, you know, if you go to Burger King or In-N-Out Burger or one of the kind of wherever you eat your burger, it takes about it's equivalent to taking eight showers, basically. So that's a big issue. And So the reason, in case, you know, your guests or your listeners are wondering is, you know, why is it that meat and dairy products have such huge water footprints? And that's primarily because of the water-intensive feed that's required to raise the animals. Most animals these days are raised in confinement, and they're fed a diet of grain as opposed to eating grass or other foods. So in California, where, you know, we're seeing this rapid decline, a quarter of all of California's water is going to produce crops that are fed to animals. And much of that is going to alfalfa for dairies, and then some corn as well. And then in the Midwest, you know, most of the irrigation water that is depleting the Ogallala Aquifer, which is the big aquifer that runs under in the High Plains, 87% of that water is going for to produce corn, much of that for animal feed. And so there's no doubt that we could get a lot more food out of that irrigation water if we would use it for legumes or healthy vegetables like broccoli and other things, which, you know, unfortunately most Americans don't eat enough of. So that's kind of just in a nutshell some of the issues around water and foods. And once again, you know, just it's not all doom and gloom, because everybody in this country can do something about this by shifting their diets. And it doesn't mean that you have to give up meat at all, or give up meat and dairy, but it means that, you know, you can save a lot of water and reduce your water footprint by reducing the amount of animal foods that you eat. And that's also really good for your health, because a lot of major, you know, issues like heart disease, diabetes, and cancers are connected to our big meat consumption. And we can save a lot of money as well. And if you, and then the other thing I would say about that is that if you do eat meat, it's really important to buy better and more sustainably raised meat, certified organic, humane, ideally pastured animal products, which are much better for your health and much better for the environment. And that's because they are raised typically on pasture organically without the use of antibiotics, hormones, synthetic pesticides, chemical fertilizers, et cetera. And so that kind of agriculture, there is a solution. So it's not just about eating less, it's about eating better meat that is raised in a way that really cares for the soil. And by caring for the soil, we can create, you know, a soil that can hold moisture and hold water, and so it requires less water. And also a lot of the grass-fed beef, does not require all the water to go into the grains to feed the animals. So there are ways to.
Very good. Well said, Terry. I'm speaking to our Deputy Director of Food and Technology with the Friends of the Earth. Friends of the Earth, what I like about your group, Terry, is that your group is really an advocacy group. People that are doing things and fighting the system, because there's so much needs to be done and changed. A lot of other traditional environmental groups, they do some nice work, but it's not the same as getting to the meat of the issue, which is trying to get the powers to be to change. I like what you said about meat, but on our show, we're very much trying to be organic. We're trying to be vegans, vegetarians, raw foodists, or at least healthy eaters, and the people that do eat meat, we're telling them to eat less and less for the reasons that you outlined very, very well, and I like that. That was great. We're going to continue. My name is Bobby Elias, and in about 20 minutes, 15 minutes, we're going to have another guest on with Stefan Rudolph, our co-host. He was going to do part of this part, but we had to make some change because some things have happened. So I'm going to go ahead and carry the rest of this time with Kerry. Let's talk about climate change. And let me say something first briefly. It's an enormous problem, as you know, all over the world. Global warming, climate change, people, the sea waters are changing. Various mammals are dying because of the change of the water. The water's heating up. It's rising in many places. So many problems. And the powers to be are ruining this world. But And there are treaties coming on. There are agreements. There are changes being made, but slowly but surely. I'd like to get your thoughts on climate change and global warming, Kerry. Go right ahead.
Sure. Yeah. So climate change is really the defining issue of our time, of course, and it's quite overwhelming in many ways. I think that agriculture, again, is a huge contributor to the problem of climate change. Up to 30% of global greenhouse gas emissions are caused by food and agriculture production, and about half of that, 15%, is caused by livestock production. And so in order to solve the problem of climate change, we have to address issues in our food system. And we actually have solutions, in our food system and what we can do. It's the industrial, production systems, which are heavily reliant on large amounts of energy-intensive, greenhouse energy-intensive inputs like water, pesticides, fertilizers, and fuel. They all generate a lot of carbon emissions. Also, industrial agriculture is generating large amounts of greenhouse gas emissions. And so if we can produce food in ways that minimize the greenhouse gas emissions by producing, for example, organically, where you don't use all those energy-intensive inputs, and you're actually building the soil with soil carbon, you're building the soil, and you're actually sequestering carbon in the soil, pulling carbon out of the atmosphere, you can actually begin to reverse climate change and global warming. And so in order to solve climate change, in order to, significantly, reduce climate change, we're going to have to shift our agricultural system. That's absolutely kind of a key piece that I think gets left out of the conversation, and something that I think people should be focused more on, particularly our governments. You saw that there's in terms of the big climate agreement, food is often left out, and yet if we want to reducing global meat consumption is going to be critical to keeping global warming below that danger level of 2 degrees Celsius. And so we need governments to really lead on this issue by shifting, agriculture and nutrition and procurement policies towards support for less meat and more plants in our diet. I hate to say it, that it all comes back to meat, but our animal foods are really a big issue here. And then the other piece that I was just saying before is that, the current debate that we have about climate change often ignores the solution to climate change, which are, agroecological and organic food production practices, which are a relatively inexpensive way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and remove large amounts of carbon from the atmosphere by storing it in the soil. And so, these kinds of practices, when you buy organic food at the supermarket or order it in a restaurant, and that's what we really encourage everyone to just build this market for organic, you're supporting really important sustainable agriculture practices like cover crops and conservation tillage and mulching and, improved management of pasture systems where, if you're supporting pasture-raised animals that have been raised on pasture, that really helps to support grazing systems that create these deep-rooted perennial grasses that build topsoil really fast. And that's part of the system that helps to pull the carbon from the atmosphere. So there are solutions here. We shouldn't feel like we really all can be part of the solution, but we do need to get food on the agenda when we're talking about climate change.
Great, great. We've got about 10 minutes left. Before we leave towards the end, I'd like to get your thoughts, not now, but at that time, about what our listeners can do to not only learn more about what we're saying, but to read up, and hopefully we'll give them the web information. But what can they do as people, as advocates, as activists, as just regular people because this issue is huge. Climate change, global warming, many people think is the number one problem in the world. because of what's going on all over the world, and a lot of it's caused by the corporations and the greedy people, and this is terrible. All right, let's talk about you talked about biodiversity or food choices. Those are two subjects. Pick one or the other or both, and if you could discuss a little bit about that, please.
So I guess biodiversity, you know, we have over 300 million acres in the United States that is devoted to monoculture, agriculture, growing grains primarily for animals and biofuels, and it's been a complete disaster for biodiversity. There's nothing but cornfields and soybean fields, you know, fence row to fence row in many of these states across the country when you fly over. Once again, that comes back to our, you know, huge appetite for animals and also really bad policy, which is promoting growing, you know, crops for biofuels instead of growing food for people. And it's had a horrendous, and that's using GMO crops, genetically engineered crops, which are resistant to chemicals. So basically it allows farmers to spray unlimited amounts of glyphosate, which is like a Roundup glyphosate, which is a herbicide on the crops, and that glyphosate is killing all of the other crops around all the plants that are primarily that provide the habitat for the monarch butterflies. For example, we have a 90% decimation of the monarch butterfly population, and of course the bees are declining at alarming rates. And that's also because of the use of massive amounts of pesticides on these massive monocultures. And so we just have a system which is causing major, major collapse of our ecological systems. And it is alarming, and it's partially caused because of the lack of democracy in our country and the fact that large agrochemical companies have such enormous power in our system and are able to influence the policymakers in a way that, you know, results in this really devastating harm to people and our planet and all of the living things on the planet. So there are a lot of things people can do, though, and I would love to talk about that because
Please. It's
really important that people feel like, you know, there are so many big issues and big problems, but when it comes to our food, there's so many solutions. And we have a choice every day when we go to the supermarket or when we go to the restaurant, wherever you go, it's really important to ask the people who are serving you the food or ask the folks at the supermarket, wherever you are, you know, where does the food come from? And can they, and let them know that you don't want meat coming from industrial factories, factory farms, that you want meat that's
right.
raised humanely and sustainably on pasture. You want more plant-based options on the menu.
Right.
So in the marketplace, there's a lot that people can do. We have a campaign right now targeting Olive Garden, actually. It's called the Good Food Now campaign at Olive Garden. And we're asking Olive Garden to improve its sourcing practices, pay its workers fairly, because if you're making minimum wage, how can you afford healthy food? It's completely unjust. So we need people to be paid a fair wage, and we need big companies like Olive Garden is owned by Darden, which is the largest restaurant owner in the largest full service restaurant operator in the country. They own Olive Garden. We're asking them to source from more sustainable producers and independent producers, source locally so that we can support thriving local food system economies. There's so much that people can do in terms of their own kind of purchasing, but that's not enough. People have to get involved in politics and make sure that you're paying attention to what's happening in Washington. It's a broken system right now, but if we don't show up, if we don't call our members of Congress, if we don't engage, then, you know, we're letting Monsanto and we're letting Bayer and Syngenta and all these agrochemical companies win. So we have to engage. And Friends of the Earth has a list where we send out action alerts about the different issues we're working on. It really makes a difference when people sign up for that list and get on board. And you can find out more at FOE.org, FOE.org, and Good Food Healthy Planet is another, if you go to Good Food Healthy Planet, you can find gut.org. You can also find information about our campaigns there and sign up for our list and get engaged. We have lots of different ways for people to plug in. We're making a lot of progress, you know, in the marketplace. We've been running some campaigns to get antibiotics out of the meat supply, and we've had some victories there with Subway and with In-N-Out Burger and a number of other restaurants that are listening to people and actually making change. At this point, we can make change a lot faster in the market than we can in Washington, because Washington is so broken and corrupt. But we expect that as we make more progress in the marketplace, we're going to push government to do more to invest in healthier, more sustainable food and farming, and hopefully get our world on a better path towards sustainability in the future.
So wonderful, Carrie. You've got great information. You're inspiring, and I really love your group, Friends of the Earth, because you guys don't just bring out the facts, but you stand up and make issues with the people, the powers to be, that are ruining this country and this world, or the way they're doing the environment, the climate change, the global warming, the water heating up. There's so many things going on. It's incredible. You mentioned a couple things very quickly. You said Friends of the Earth. You said FOE. For our listeners, that's friendsoftheearth.org. O-R-G.
Yeah,
is that
no,
right?
It's actually FOE.org.
FOE, so, right. FOE.org.
Yeah,
O-R-G.
And then, just so you know,
FOE stands for Friends of the Earth. All right, FOE. And the second one, healthy, what was the?
Good food, healthy, good food, healthy planet. So if you just put into your browser, your search, just Good Food Healthy Planet,
right,
that'll come up, our campaign to reduce meat consumption from factory farms and increase support for more sustainable, humanely raised food.
Good.
You can learn more there. And don't despair, because every day you can make a difference. You know, every day what we choose to eat has a huge impact on the planet. And
yes,
we have a lot of power in what we choose, and it's, you know, better for our health and better for the planet. So,
excellent. That's very motivating, inspiring for our listeners, for me too. I really love everything you had to say. Is there a number that they can call also besides the web? We have some people that don't have a computer, a little older people or old school people. Would you like to give a number, or is that better they just go through the way you gave us?
You know, we don't really have a phone number for people to call. There's email online that you can reach out via email, but we don't really have one central number that's going to give you much information beyond our website. So,
no problem. That's fine.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, listen, thank you very much. You did a great job, a very, very information-packed for our listeners to know what's going on. Thanks very much, okay?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You're very welcome. You have a great day, too. That was really nice. I hope our listeners take part and understand a little more about global warming, climate change, food, meat, and the part about meat, she said. And we on this show, we are definitely all the way more so to try to encourage people either not to eat meat or eat less and less, because it's damaging to the earth. It's very hurting to the animals. It's just a very, very bad karma thing. Okay, just so you know, before Stefan Rudolph comes on with our next guest, Natalie, I want to just make sure that you understand that the next few weeks we're going to have Indigenous Views of the Earth. We're also going to have a little on the elections. Then we're going to go several weeks on Let's Create a Better World, about how can we create a better world? What's going on with the world now, and what are the solutions, and what can we do, each of us individually, to be prepared for making this a better world, a better planet, with less war, less greed, more harmony, more love. We can do it. It's there. I've got 4 or 5 guests over the last 3 months that said the same thing I just finished saying. They believe things are going to get better. Yes, they're going to get bad. And we're going to have some climate problems. We're going to have wars. We're going to have a number of things for the next 5, 8, 10 years. But after that, we see a change coming. It's there. It's there. Okay, I'm going to come back in about 15, 20 minutes. Stefan's going to take over now. with his guest, Natalie. Go ahead, Stefan, introduce your guest, and I'll be back in a while. Thank you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Bobby. That was great hearing Carrie and everything that she is doing for the environment. That is awesome. And we're switching over now to our environment when it comes to health within and what we're doing for ourselves in order to live a healthier life. And I have a great friend and coach as well, who's been helping others for many years now. Her name is Natalie Roundtree, and she is an advocate for bringing awareness to the pain and struggles of women, of mothers, and really others facing addiction to alcohol or in recovery themselves at the time as well. And she is the founder of Sober Living, Soulful Living, and her website is just that, soberlivingsoulfulliving.com, and which focuses on inspiring and encouraging those in recovery from alcoholism and really just leading a better, healthier life. Natalie has aided hundreds of people in recovery since 2008, so I wanted to introduce her here. Hi, Natalie, there.
Hi, Stefan. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, doing great today. So, yeah, tell our listeners about your background and what you do for people and where you're at today and what they can get out of you.
Sure thing, Stefan. A little bit about my story is I was in a relationship with alcohol for about 15 years of my life, from the time that I was 19 until I was 34, not really knowing what I was running from, but just knowing that I needed something else to fill me up. And alcohol seemed to do the trick for a while, but it was something that I could not escape. I could not escape the addiction. And it really took over my life for several years, and it took a lot from me. In 2008, I was arrested for my third DUI. I had a 0.22 blood alcohol content level, just three times over the legal limit here in Michigan. And I also had my daughter in the car. So, Stefan, this was my second felony, my third DUI, and I lost custody of my daughter for several years. And what I have done since then and how I've turned my life around, I can't find myself doing anything but helping other people in recovery, really come out of the shame, get past the guilt, and rebuild their lives and start over and learn how to live from within out and make proper changes in their life so they don't feel stuck in recovery in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And that's what people go through, is a lot of change, and that's what this is, the show is about. Let's create a better world. And that's kind of the world around us, though, is created within us. And that's what you have been helping people with now for 7-8 years now. Maybe you could tell me a little bit about a story or someone you've helped and what you've done for them and what you continue to do for people.
Well, there's a lot of people I reach now, a lot more people I reach now, and I get a ton of feedback. And it's really through my, through online, through social media, through doing, you know, I have a Facebook page that I connect with thousands upon thousands daily. And the whole thing is sharing my story. And I do this through, I write for different organizations that focus just on recovery and addiction, podcast, writing for the Huffington Post. And really, it's getting as raw and being as vulnerable as I can be, because I believe that vulnerability is very powerful. I believe that once we start sharing our story and come out of that shame box and share all of our faults and everything that we've done wrong, it has opened up the doors for so many other women to come forward to me, or even if to someone else, to say, okay, here it is. Here's what I've done. I need some help. I've made some mistakes. I want to move forward in life. I don't want to keep making the same mistakes over. And it's just, it's compassion. It's showing each other compassion. I've helped several people go into rehab that, you know, kind of were ready, but not. I mean, we all know you can't get someone there until they're absolutely ready.
Mm-hmm.
But more so, I've put my focus on helping people who are in recovery, but so many people get stuck. We put these limiting beliefs on ourselves because we're stuck in the same old patterns of of not feeling worthy of something or feeling invaluable or not feeling like we can accomplish or achieve something when really the exact opposite is happening. You're starting over. You're starting a brand new life. And so much of that power comes from within. Whatever you tell yourself you deserve, you're going to deserve. I feared losing my daughter for years to my addiction, and it happened. Many things I fear I bring about myself just because that's what I focus on. So I learned years ago, after 2008, that was my eye-opener, not only to the depths of my addiction, but also to the power that I had in me, that we all have in us. If I just change my way of thinking, if I just change how I speak to myself, how I love myself, how I portray myself, how I feel about myself is going to be how I portray myself, and it's going to be how I treat other people. It's a completely different world.
Exactly.
It's so much more beautiful. And the things that I didn't think I deserved were exactly that. The things that I didn't think I deserved. Well, you're talking to someone who's a twice convicted felon, who had 3 DUIs, lost custody of her daughter. I went on to work for 2 law firms. I was in the mortgage business for years before that. I went to work for 2 law firms. I worked for a marketing company. I was one of the best employees that any one of those places had. And that's by awards and certifications. That's not by ego talking. But I was making very good money. And I got those jobs, even with the record that I had, because I believed I deserved them. I knew I would be good at them. I didn't walk into these places with a stamp on my forehead that claimed my past. I went in with who I believed I was then and now. And things happen. Things happen when you want them to happen. They happen when you believe they will. They happen when you have the belief in yourself that you can make things. You are a co-creator on this planet. You can make things the way that you want them. It's very powerful once you come to realize that and once you put that in practice and you go to bed every night and you're thankful for the good things that happen. And you wake up in the morning with an attitude of gratefulness.
Yeah, and that's the hardest part that some of people have, and especially to our listeners. Once again, this is Natalie Roundtree, and she is speaking from Sober Living, Soulful Living, from her business there, and talking about recovery and starting over. And you had some great points there, Natalie, as far as what we're doing to ourselves is basically these negative thoughts are affecting us, and a lot of us live in this type of environment, live in this world, and we don't realize what we're doing. And you're a prime example of change your thoughts, change your life, right? And that's what you've done and continue to do. Mm-hmm.
And it takes practice. It's not easy. I mean, I was one of those people who got angry every time I seen somebody always happy or always positive. And it irritated me because I didn't know how to do it. Well, of course I didn't know how to do it. For 15 years, I thought negative. Of course I was thinking negative. I was drinking all the time. I was getting more and more depressed. And all I had around me was negativity because when you're drinking all the time, it's not like you bring in all these positive circumstances and events. Mm-hmm. So and then it becomes a pattern, and it's the media and it's society and it's everything. There's so many things that we can do, and it's so much, we make it so much easier on ourselves when we just shut the rest of the world out for a minute.
Yeah.
And practice on how we feel about ourselves and practice how we feel on the inside. And then start working on that and not worrying about what other people are doing, not worrying about what other people are thinking. And I still practice it. I'm not a pro at it. I still find myself checking myself a lot to make sure that I'm on the positive wavelength, that I'm that I'm on the right track, because it's easy to get pulled out of it sometimes. And then I stop and I think, well, why am I getting pulled out of it? Then that comes to the next topic of being more aware. Well, what am I putting in front of me that is giving me this mood? What am I doing differently? Do Do I need more exercise? Do I need to turn the TV off? Do I need to eat better? Why am I not feeling good?
So awareness, right? Yeah.
Yes, it's awareness. Or what am I in conflict about? Well, if I'm cranky, is there something I'm not paying attention to? Is there something else I should be doing? We have this internal GPS system that, you know, whether it be our soul or even just the way that we feel physically, whether we feel ill or whatever it is, if when we pay attention to every feeling that we have, there's so many changes that we can make to better our health, to better our living environment, to better our mood, to better our attitude, to better our way of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right on the money. The analogy of a GPS is a prime example. It's funny, I just posted on a friend's timeline there on Facebook about a GPS because he didn't get a job. And sometimes when we're not hired for something, when we get in an accident or something happens, especially if you have the means of alcohol, you have alcohol in your life still, we look at the negative very easily and start drinking our way out of it. And he said, and I told him this, I said, use your GPS the same way. We have this guided system in our mind that, you know, we have to go with our instinct. Some people call it a gut instinct. Some people call it negative energy. I didn't feel the vibe. Whatever it is, you got to go with that. Yeah. Maybe you can tell the listeners more about how you help others in those areas. And also, you know, just maybe another example of your story, because that's some great feedback from you on how you got here. And maybe your future goals, too, of what you're looking to do.
Well, the biggest thing is me getting – what I'm trying to do is help people – sending out a positive message. Sending out positive messages all the time really helps. I mean, really, you're just planting the seed in someone else's mind. Think positive, think positive, think positive. And like you said, when things happen, it's – and it took me years to realize this, too, because I always used to harp on, oh, woe is me, why me? Well, it's time to get out of that way of thinking, because – I used to think that for years. And when you look back in hindsight, you can really see that. Then that's when you can say, oh, now I see why that happened. Everything happened for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. Mm-hmm. And every single time I was roadblocked or sidelined, or I felt like my life was on pause, or I felt like something just wasn't working out for me, it was always making room for something bigger and better. Every time. Every time.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's helping people change their mindset. And like now, even just 2 days ago, I got a big setback, which years ago would have devastated me. Mm-hmm. No, I told my husband's like, you're in a good mood still. I said, of course I am. the bigger the disappointment now, the bigger the surprise is going to be in a little bit. It's making room for something else. The universe, God's energy, I like to call it, is making room for something else that's supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that because not everything is our call. And I like having something else to believe in. I like knowing that I can trust something else other than myself. But then there's also the part to where you have to trust yourself enough to trust yourself, because that intuition, when you get that feeling, when you get that, you know it's not right, and you go against it, and you're like, oh, I knew that wasn't right. I told myself I shouldn't have done that. Well, you remember because you had a feeling. So your internal GPS system is always on. It's always on.
Lights are on, right?
Yeah. So are you going to listen or are you going to not?
Mm-hmm.
But people don't trust themselves enough. That's the thing. Well, it's not just you. Do you think something else is guiding? Don't you think something else is guiding you? Or it's an incredible sense that you have. Either way you look at it, I think people have been shown enough that, they can trust it. There's too many times they went against it. So once they start to trust it, they start to build up this more so a confidence, courage, step out of the fear a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you just naturally start loving yourself a little more because you're not full of mistakes all the time.
Exactly. You love to start loving that person because it's easier and less excuses. And you had some great points about just listening to the instinct. And we have the conscious mind as the ego, right? And it kind of just pushes that subconscious feeling out. And I see you have that in you, and you're definitely helping hundreds of people as well over the years, right? And getting them aware, right?
Yes, and that's the thing is being aware in the ego. The ego holds us back. The surface ego holds us back on so many levels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the pride ego I'm talking about. That's the I've got to show this face ego, or I've got to be the best at everything ego. And once you let those walls down, and once you drop all of that and really go inside, you see that ego is just I. It's just who you are. And now you can pay attention to yourself, really what you want, not what you have to show, not what you have to be attached to. And this all comes from that's how I found myself. I found myself when I lost everything. I lost the brand new condo. I lost the brand new vehicle. I lost custody of my daughter. I lost everything that I worked so hard to get. I lost the job. I had nothing, nothing to attach myself to.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when I found exactly who I was.
It's like a new self, right? Because the self that we create from the ego is very materialistic, and we do well. As you mentioned, you had a job at a law firm, you had the house, you had everything. But we lost that. You lost that self, and you found your real self, your inner being, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff that I'm saying that I had, none of that made me happy. None of that made me happy anyway, because I kept buying things and kept going for things and kept trying to fill a void with things,
mm-hmm.
with things, and nothing was fulfilling me. And this is years into recovery I did this. And I couldn't figure out why I was still empty. Well, you have to fill it with the proper stuff. You have to fill yourself with the things that make you feel good long term. Who are you without everything? Once you figure out who you are without everything, you're not going to have a hard time filling yourself with the proper stuff.
Yeah.
Because you realize what's important.
A big part of our voice also says that I have nothing in life. I always want more. And remember, we talked about Wayne Dyer before in our conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And Wayne Dyer changes that nothing to no thing, because you should be attached to no thing, and you'll find more in yourself, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and that's what no thing, no person, even.
Mm-hmm.
No person. Because we rely so heavily on other people as well for our identity. And so when you said no thing, you know, what immediately came to my mind was I didn't even have the namesake mom. Because I felt like I wasn't even a mom. I lost custody of my daughter.
Yeah.
No thing, no person. So now that identity is gone. Alcohol is gone. All my material belongings are gone. It's the most humbling thing you can ever go through and the most beautiful thing you could ever go through. It's a catch-22. But when you pay attention, when you go in deep and you go in ready and willing and able to make changes and pay attention and to dig deep and to get through all that pain and really just dig down to the surface, dig down to the center and find out who you are, there's, like I said before, once you find that, there's no going back.
Exactly. Well, yeah, I appreciate that, Natalie. And what I'd like to do here, Bobby, are you there?
Yes, I just got back. Yes, Natalie,
okay,
that was great.
Yeah,
I loved everything you had to say, and you did a great job, Stefan, to bring her, and you did a great
Thank
job,
you.
Period.
Thank you, Bobby.
Yeah. I'd like to thank both of you, but Stefan, hang on there, and Natalie, we'd like to have you on again because it's such a vital issue. Alcoholism—it's everywhere. My dad was an alcoholic, and poor people, Latinos, have a huge drinking problem. The worst drinking problem of all are Native Americans, and just a lot of people. There's so much stress and problems in this world and in this country, especially.
Yeah.
And so we need to hear more from you and your input and your thoughts and the future of what we can do about all this and what the country is doing about it. But thank you so much for being on the show.
I would love
it.
I appreciate it.
Natalie, maybe give your contact information out to the listeners one more time.
Yes, that's right.
My website, you can either reach me on my website is soberlivingsoulfulliving.com or Facebook, soberlivingsoulfulliving.com.
Awesome.
Great. Okay. Stefan, I wanted to go over some things with you. First of all, that was, let's take about 2 minutes to talk about that, and then I want to finish up the show. I just think that's a huge problem, as I just said. Your thoughts on her and the show and what your discussion with her?
Yeah, it hits home in a huge way because, ironically, we've been sober about the same time, had issues in the same time period in 2008, and everything that she's gone through. When people hear those, And people say, well, she had 3 DUIs. Well, guess what? I had 4. And I don't brag about it, but it's just the miracle of the mind and what prayer and positive thinking can do for you and do for anybody. Anybody can change. And there was a quote one time that changed my life when Eddie Vedder, he's a singer, he said, I've changed by not changing at all. And that really hit home because a lot of people in his state and where he's at in life, he doesn't need to change. He's doing very well. But a lot of alcoholics and druggies will change by not changing at all because the world around them starts falling apart. And that's what we see here at what she went through, what I've been through. Everything falls apart, and your ego wants it the way it used to be when it can't be anymore. So that maybe you function as an alcoholic. Maybe you function at living a crazy party life, but then it falls apart, and it's really hard to change. So that's kind of what I got out of that. And thanks, Natalie, again, and it's been a great show.
Yeah.
It's always my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Take care, Natalie. Thanks again. Wow, that's really good. I hit home with me because, as I said, my dad had a problem, and I'm a Latino, and it's every Friday you see the liquor stores filled, and the supermarkets filled with guys getting off work and buying big, huge amounts of booze, all kinds of booze. A lot of it beer, Budweiser. Oh, that's, you go nuts on that. And that's a problem. It's a serious, serious problem for them, their families, their wives have to suffer through this. And I know because my dad was an alcoholic. We just advise our listeners to, if you are an alcoholic, to, gosh, do something about it. It's affecting your health, your brain, your longevity, everything. It just, your food cannot function. The food you eat doesn't work right if you're drinking alcohol. That kills it. Anyway, Stefan, yeah, next few weeks we're going to have some great shows also about, we have several people that we're thinking about, the indigenous. We have Winona Duke, who is a Harvard-trained lawyer. She has worked with Ralph Nader, and she's still fighting the treaties that are going on around the world, but she's going to talk about the planet, the environment, the old indigenous ways of how Native Americans and other indigenous groups lived, how they took care of the planet natural way, the natural way of living. The whole concept in this country is turned to plastic, and it's greed and money, and the broken treaties that happened really ruined. And by the way, speaking of alcoholism, Native Americans have by far the worst alcoholism problems in not only this country, but probably the world. But anyway, we're going to have talk on the elections. We're trying to get Dennis Kucinich, who ran for president a few years ago, Jill Stein, who's running for president now. She's with the Green Party, and she's just wonderful. And they're going to talk about what I want to talk about, too, and that's how can we make this a better world? That is the theme of our show, Let's Create a Better World. And then that's about it. I want to thank, first of all, Stefan, for a great job you did, Stefan, and Natalie, your guest. The first guest we had, Carrie, talking about the environment and food and water and meat. Then I want to also thank Jason, the director of Progressive Radio Network. I want to thank Jesse, done a great job getting these shows on and off and doing really good work. I want to thank Gary Nall for having the station Gary, thank you. This is a great station, and it's the number one station in the world, without a doubt. And then I want to thank Stuart Hassel, our co-producer, who's doing real good work here in L.A., getting us ready for the shows. I want to thank Lydia, associate producer, does very good work also, a lot of research. And I want to thank our two guests I mentioned, but also I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you so much. We'll be on again next Saturday, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time. See you later, Stefan. Take care.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life. The greatest gift of all. We keep on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We all are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we